Good morning, everyone. So happy to be with you this Mother's Day morning. And I'm joined by Treva with me today. And Treva has been thinking and meditating this week on what it means to be filled with joy in the Holy Spirit. And so while I'm preaching, she's going to be painting. So I'm really excited about that and hope you enjoy that. It's my hope and desire that I might refresh your hearts and encourage you through God's Word. I know that the Holy Spirit is working right now to enlighten your minds. And I want to urge you to lean into him today as we look at our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to do a little thinking back for me right now. See if you can answer this question. When were the happiest days of your life? When were the happiest days of your life? Was it when you were like 8 years old, riding your bikes with your friends and drinking orange pop? Was it when you were in high school? Was it your college years? Maybe it was your early days of your romance or when your babies were little. Maybe it was family vacations or a favorite job. When were the happiest days of your life? I hope that even thinking about that made you a little happier today. We love to be happy, and we wish we could be happy all the time. As I was thinking about this today, I got to reminiscing about some songs that made me happy. And so I wanted to share those with you. We're going to take about 90 seconds and listen to some songs. And maybe you want to do a 90-second dance party at your house. I know I'll be doing that here. So check this out.
Troubles, come on, get happy. You better chase all your cares away.
I'm a terrible dancer.
Shout hallelujah, come on, get happy. Get ready for the judgment day.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry. Be happy.
Hello world, here's a song that we're singing. Come on, get happy. A whole lot of loving is what we'll be bringing. We'll make you happy.
Everybody's got a loving place, a loving place to go. Take a frown, turn it upside down, and you'll find your
right now. I don't care about
that. It's gone.
Because I'm happy. Come along if you feel like happiness is the truth.
Because
all right, well, you probably have your own favorite happy songs, or maybe you have happy food or a happy movie. I think happiness is good, and we need a lot of it these days, because these days are happy-less days. The situation around us is difficult. I find that I'm struggling about 20% of the time to be happy. What started as a strange and mysterious season that had its own sense of excitement because of the novelty in it has morphed into a dull lull. Are we going to be in this lockdown for another 6 months? What about my income? What about my employment? What about our vacations and family reunions or summer traditions? Festivals and big events and local activities have all been shut down. We're isolated from each other. Police services tell us that suicide and domestic violence are on the rise. These are not happy days. How in the world are we to maintain a happy spirit in the midst of all this? There simply aren't enough catchy songs to keep us happy all the time. And then we read in the Bible and it says this, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Really? How is that possible? Well, we've been working through a series on the Holy Spirit, and today is the fourth and final part of that series. Today's topic is the Holy Spirit gives us joy. The Holy Spirit is the antidote to all the sorrow and sadness and malaise that we're feeling. Really? Do you believe that? He is there to build up your hearts and encourage your spirit so that you can walk around with a constant sense of happiness and joy. Wouldn't you like that? Wouldn't you rather that than the spirit of heaviness and sadness? Now, maybe you're tuning in for the first time today, or you've been tracking for us a bit, and you had no idea that one of the things that God wants to do is fill you with abundant, exceeding, overwhelming joy. God wants you to be happy. You've walked around long enough with this sad spirit, with a disparaging outlook, and you'd give anything for a shot of happiness. Well, I'm here to say you've come to the right place. You may say, well, no one can be happy or joyful in the midst of my circumstances. It's impossible. Maybe if things turned around, I could be happy. But I want you to know that the joy God offers is not dependent on your circumstances. He can bring a supernatural joy that is bigger than any and every situation you might find yourself in. It is really incredible. Today we're going to look once again at my favorite person in the whole world, Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus has been described in a lot of those ways, in a lot of ways, and in one of those ways is found in Isaiah 53. Here's what the third verse says. It says, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Okay, that doesn't seem all that happy. Man of sorrows? Not exactly the first person you'd think to invite to a party. Add to that most of the artwork we see depicting Jesus. He's almost always seen as somber or serious or sad. You couldn't ever imagine him doing a TikTok dance. But here's another description of Jesus found in Hebrews chapter 1. It says this, you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. The oil of joy. Jesus was marked with joy. How is it that a man of sorrows could be marked with joy? Maybe it's possible to experience sorrow and still have joy. Well, let's take a close look at Jesus today and find out. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Now Jesus, just to set it up here a little bit, Jesus had sent 72 of his followers to bless people, heal the sick and drive out demons, and to bring joy and refreshment to many. Okay, so we're going to pick up the verse, we'll pick up the story at verse 17 in Luke chapter 10. It says this, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and have revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you are pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Here's the big idea for today. Jesus, the man of sorrows, was filled with joy by the Holy Spirit, causing him to see things from an eternal perspective and motivating him to live a life of service. I want to say that again. Jesus, the man of sorrows, was filled with joy by the Holy Spirit, causing him to see things from an eternal perspective and motivating him to live a life of service. You see, Jesus' joy was not dependent on his circumstances. If they were, he would not have had a lot to be happy about. He didn't have any kind of income. He had no place to go home. He basically couch surfed his entire ministry life. He was constantly challenged by the religious leaders. He had received death threats. He was in constant demand to help people. The group that he spent all his time coaching and training, they rarely seemed to get it. He was betrayed by one of his own disciples. He was abandoned by the rest. He was arrested on false charges. He was given an unfair trial. He was beaten, spit on, mocked, and finally killed on a cross. I don't know how bad your situation is, but it's not that bad. If anyone had reason to be down and complain, it was Jesus. But he was filled with joy. And this joy came from the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 21. Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit fills us with joy. The Bible teaches that joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit. It's like the aroma when you microwave a bag of popcorn. It's inseparable from the popcorn itself. When the Spirit of the Lord is around, there is incredible joy. I've met some people who say they know Jesus, and yet they're always negative or down. You know, they always seem to find the bad in every situation. They look like they've been sucking on lemons, actually. And some of these people are the ones that are noted for being the most religious of the bunch. Well, if that's religion, I want nothing to do with it. This is not who the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit brings an unbridled optimism, an exuberant happiness, a bright outlook. I know this because he's done it in my life. I've made no secret of the fact that I struggle with depression. There are days, especially during this pandemic, when my natural outlook is rather dreary. I have a heaviness in my heart, a constant sadness in my soul. And there have been days, even seasons in my life, where feeling happy seemed impossible. In those days and seasons, I have relied heavily on the Holy Spirit for joy. I've called out to him and I said, I will not stop asking you until you fill me with joy. And he always, always did. I have asked him to fix my situation at times so that I can be joyful, but he had something much better in mind. He wanted me to be joyful in any situation. He wanted me to have joy that is greater than every obstacle I might find. And that, my friends, is a superpower. Now it doesn't matter what the world throws at me, and the world will throw a lot of difficulties our way. I can be joyful. I heard a story of a couple men playing tennis in a tournament. They were competing in the over 80 category. One guy was 82, and the other guy was 86. The 82-year-old made a shot that the 86-year-old just couldn't get to. And the 86-year-old cried out in a sad voice, "Oh, to be 82 again." There's a guy who is filled with joy despite his circumstances. The Holy Spirit has filled me with joy in the midst of the most trying circumstances of my life. He has filled me with joy despite my disposition towards depression. He has filled me with joy whenever I have asked. And he wants to do the same with you. If you ask him and really seek him, he will give you a supernatural joy that isn't shaken during hard times. I love how he does it. We can see it clearly in the text we read today. The Holy Spirit fixes our eyes on eternity. He fills us with joy by fixing our eyes on eternity. Look at what Jesus says in verse 20. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Jesus had a clear view of the big picture. He knew that this life was not all there was. He knew that there was an eternity to consider. And with that view in mind, he was filled with joy. In saying that their names are written in heaven, he was assuring them that an eternity of life was ahead of them. In Hebrews 12, it says, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross." Jesus was not looking at the current situation he was in as though that was all there was. He was looking down the road to the end game, and it was enough to outshine his current difficulty. Paul, and another one of the writers of the Bible, says this, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. For those who have been made right with God, there is the hope of heaven. Once this life of pain and struggle is completed, there is the possibility of an eternity with no more pain, no more sadness, no more sorrow." I don't know if there are many sushi lovers out there. Do you love sushi? Yeah, you got sushi for Mother's Day maybe? Well, I'm crazy for sushi. And I love wasabi. I can still remember my first experience with it. I was in Ontario, and this lovely Japanese friend invited me over for some sushi. I had no idea at that time what wasabi was, but I wanted the full Japanese experience, so I dolloped it on. That stuff is hot, man. It'll blow your mind. But then the pain lasts only for a second, and it's completely gone. Well, compared to eternity, this life is like a hit of wasabi. It comes at you hard. It makes your eyes water. It makes your brain go boom, and then it will be gone. Now, you heard me say that heaven is for those who have been made right with God. How does one get right with God? Can you get right with God if you just try really, really hard to do good things? Can you get right with God if you just try really, really hard not to do bad things? Well, I don't know if you've tried that. I have. It has not worked. And it's because it doesn't work that way. Getting right with God has nothing to do with karma. It has everything to do with grace. The verse I quoted earlier said, "For the joy set before Jesus, he endured the cross." It sums it up. Jesus endured the cross. He died so that our sins could be paid for. He died so that our relationship with God could be made right. It's the only way. We have to believe in Jesus and receive his gift of salvation, his free gift of salvation. And then we'll be right with God. And notice this, that our salvation, our restored relationship, was his joy. It's what really made him happy. I don't know how you think God feels about you. Maybe you think he's just angry at you. Maybe you think he just hasn't got time for you. He's just too busy taking care of other things. Maybe you think he's super disappointed in you. You've just been a real failure. But I want to tell you that he loves you. The Bible even says that he rejoices over you with singing. He rejoices over you. He's crazy about you. He's digging you. He wants nothing more than to be in a close personal relationship with you. The problem is that your sins have separated you from him. But he's willing to pay for your sins with his own life in order to offer you the forgiveness you need to be tight with him forever. The Holy Spirit may be inviting you right now to give your life to Jesus. He might be pointing you right now to the hope of an eternity of happiness and peace. He might be inviting you to have your name written in heaven. Surrender to him right now and begin the experience of supernatural joy that he is offering. The Holy Spirit fills us with joy by directing our attention to eternal realities. And when we realize that the pain and sorrows of this life are only fleeting, and that there is a great reward that far exceeds our trials, the Holy Spirit frees us up to serve. He frees us up to serve. The disciples came back filled with joy. They were full with joy because they had been out serving and had seen God at work in them in powerful ways. Now, it's interesting that as soon as Jesus finishes talking to the disciples about this, the very next section of Scripture is the story of the Good Samaritan. And maybe you know that story. It's a story about helping people in need. Jesus' main objective was to serve. He did this because he knew that in serving there is great joy. It is better to give than to receive. Now, I see this on your faces when you deliver groceries or a meal to someone in need. On Wednesdays, we've been holding a pop-up fruit and veggie stand where we give away free food to anyone who wants it. You should hear the buzz around here after the stand closes. It's awesome. There's so much joy. We've had people in to make sandwiches to give to needy kids in town. And you almost always hear laughter and great conversation. I asked Nicole Bateman what it was like, and she said, "It's like a coffee with your best friend." Really? Serving can be that much fun? Oh, yeah, man. Every summer we do some kind of Bible adventure with our kids. We've done VBS. We've done family adventures. Christy and her team are currently figuring out how to plan this out this summer. But one thing that always happens after these great events is Christy debriefs the staff on how everything went. And one of the constant refrains is, "Those who were serving had an absolute blast. They didn't want it to end. They loved being together and meeting the needs of kids. They were filled with joy." Serving fills us with joy. And we're currently having to readjust our thinking and our leadership here at ACC. When we thought that this pandemic might be a 1 to 2 month deal, we shut down lots of things, and the ministry we kept going was done primarily by those of us on staff and a few volunteers. For a while there, it actually was great break for a lot of you. You've been serving faithfully, and some of you could really use the time off. But now that this is going to be longer than we originally thought, I know that there's a whole whack of you that are ready to start serving again. You know that joy comes with serving. You've proved that in your actions and in your words in the past. And it's time to get back at it. So we're getting our brains in gear to find ways to activate you servant leaders again. There's still lots of need to connect with our church family. We need people who'd be willing to call 5 to 7 people every 10 days or so just to check in, see how they're doing, pray for them, see if they need anything. Would you like to be a part of that? Would you like to be an ambassador of kindness? Mercy Connect is getting more and more opportunities to serve, and I believe that this is only going to continue. We're looking for people who have time each week to come alongside Heather and her team to help meet those new needs. We also need help in the area of our virtual ministry, this thing we're doing online right now. We want to find ways to connect with new people who are checking us out online. We want to offer prayer to them and connection with them. Maybe the time has come for you to consider hosting a life group. You can do that through Zoom or some other virtual platform. There are many opportunities to serve, and I want you to consider getting involved again. It's amazing how much joy we can get by looking beyond ourselves to meet the needs of others. And the Holy Spirit may be nudging you right now to get back in the game, to get involved. He will also empower you to do the things he's asking you to do. In fact, the joy of the Lord is our strength. It's a perfect combination and opportunity you don't want to miss out on. Well, you were meant to walk around in joy. You were not meant to walk around in sadness, my friends. I know this because I've struggled with sadness in my life. But whenever the Holy Spirit is free to work in me, he always produces joy. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of joy. He wants to come and fill you today. He will focus your attention on eternity and will empower you to live each day being a blessing and refreshing others. Can you imagine the joy if you were known as a person of joy? Can you imagine if ACC was known as a place of joy? Our world is in desperate need of joy these days. Our world is in desperate need of the Holy Spirit these days. Jim Cimbala, in his book, Spirit Rising, tells the story of a woman named Evelyn. The woman had every reason to not be joyful. She was born to an unwed woman in Puerto Rico. She never met her father until she was 10, and then he rejected her out of hand. She was devastated. They lived in poverty after they moved to America. She had a little sister that she absolutely adored, probably the dearest thing in her life. When her sister was 8 years old, they were living in Hell's Kitchen, a suburb in Manhattan, the west side of Manhattan. Her sister was playing with friends in a second-story apartment. The protective railing around the window was rotten, and it gave way when she was leaning on it. She fell to her death. Evelyn blamed herself for her sister's death. When Evelyn was 14, she tried to kill herself by overdosing on aspirin. At 16, she married a man 10 years older than her. That marriage ended in divorce. Then she remarried to another abusive husband. That marriage also ended in divorce. After that, she started attending church with her mother. One day, while showering and getting dressed, she thought, "I can't believe I'm getting dressed on New Year's Eve to go to church. Maybe I should make a New Year's resolution and give my life to Christ. People say he fills your life with joy, love, and peace. Maybe I should give an opportunity to do that in my life." Well, she did that very thing. And God immediately flooded her with love and joy. She went from being a vengeful person to one delivered from anger and bitterness. She went from merely existing to living an abundant life. Her circumstances didn't change, but her heart certainly did. She discovered true joy, and it was a gift that no one could take away from her. One of her favorite lines is, "Happiness depends on happenings." But joy comes from the Lord. Do you want that kind of joy today? Do you want the joy that is there even when there is sorrow? It's all yours if you will fully surrender to Jesus. The Holy Spirit will bring joy into anyone, into the life of anyone who asks. He did it in Jesus. He's done it in my life. He's done it in many other lives too. And he wants to do it in your life. You need joy these days. So turn to God. Allow the Holy Spirit to fill you with Jesus, who is our model and our source of joy. Now this leads me to one of our greatest reasons for joy. We are forgiven. We do not have to carry around with us the immense load of guilt and shame that we should. Jesus took all of our sins on himself when he died on the cross. Because of our actions, we deserve death and hell. But because of Jesus' actions, we receive life and heaven. It's extraordinary. This is what it says in Romans 5. Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, Jesus, the many will be made righteous. Just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign in righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, we celebrate our Lord's rich act of love towards us by remembering his sacrifice through the sacrament of communion. Now, maybe you have never trusted in Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can do that right now by inviting him into your heart and surrendering your life to him. He loves you dearly. He loves you so much that he gave himself for you. And that's what we remember. We recall this. In 1 Corinthians 11, it says, on the night the Lord Jesus was betrayed, he was with his disciples there gathered around. When he's with them, he took bread. If you have bread with you today, I want you to take some in your hand. He took bread and he broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. When you eat this bread, you proclaim my death. So remember me when you do this. So I'd like you just to take some bread right now and eat it. Let's partake together, remembering Christ's broken body for us. Then the scriptures tell us that after supper, he took the cup and he said, this cup is the new wine in the covenant. This cup is my blood, which is poured out for you. So let's, as we drink this, realize that Christ poured out his love. He didn't mete it out in incremental ways. He poured it all out for us. Let's partake together and thank Jesus for his spilt blood for us. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your broken body, the poured out blood, that you sacrificed everything to show your love for us. You wanted us to experience joy, to live a life full of joy, full of love, full of peace, full of hope. And you were willing to put everything on the line that we might experience that. And so we are grateful people, and we want to celebrate you and your kindness.